This is Columbia Morning on News Talk 1400 KFRU, and I'm pleased to welcome into the studio Dave Cover from The Crossing, as it says on the website, because I did look at this, senior teaching pastor, right?
Yeah, you know, we've had this weird discovery that our left hand doesn't know what our right hand is doing. we have three, what we would call senior pastors, which is silly. So we've decided to call ourselves co-lead pastors.
Okay.
So after 18 years, we finally got our job title figured out.
That's good. 18 years. I'm still trying to, it's been more than that. I'm trying to figure out what I do every day also. You, I will say this, we were just talking about it off the air, an update on the lit tree.
You know, we had some specialists come out because that's a valued tree on our property. It's an old sycamore tree. And we were obviously concerned with the lights. Would that damage the tree? So we had some specialists come out and they said, no, except you got to turn the lights off now because the tree needs to go dormant and not be tricked by the lights.
So those who wanted the tree to be brightly lit for every day of the year.
It's over.
But that makes it special when it comes back on.
Yeah, right.
We're here to talk about other things other than lit trees and titles. And this would be your work with the True False Film Festival, and especially with something that was announced just about a week ago, and it has to do with the True Life Fund film. Why is The Crossing involved in this?
You know, when we started the church 18 years ago, we called ourselves The Crossing because we wanted to be a church that wasn't cultural separatist. We wanted to always try to find ways to find common ground with our community. And so we called ourselves The Crossing because we thought of ourselves as sort of a bridge, a way to not be behind a castle wall, but to be where the people were, and to be not just the city on the hill kind of metaphor that Jesus uses, but also to be people who Jeremiah 29:11 says who work for and pray for the prosperity of our city wherever we live. So we wanted to be a church that was working toward, giving toward, praying toward the prosperity of our community. And we thought, well, when I first attended my first True False attendance was in the Shadow of the Moon. I think that was like 2007 or 2000. I think it was 2007. Hmm. A fantastic film. And I was just blown away by the event of True False. And I thought to myself, this is the kind of thing that's so good for Columbia, so good for the artistic prosperity and community prosperity of our city, that this is the kind of thing we wanted to find common ground with. So I met with David Wilson and Paul Sturtz, and was surprised to hear them say, well, we don't know. We don't know if we want a church to be involved with this or not. I said, you don't want our money? Well, I'm not sure. So it kind of blew me away a little bit, and I almost respected them even more, and I wanted to be a part of it even more. So we found a way where we could do it with the True Life Fund, where we could be a part of a film that was part of a cause, a film that was part of meeting an important need in people's lives, and it was a way for them to find common ground with us, and a way for us to find common ground with them.
I like the story about David Wilson saying, well, we don't know for sure. And I think that reflects perhaps an opinion about churches.
Yeah.
And is that an opinion that needs, obviously, I think it would be an opinion that would need to change. And I think you might share that also.
It's not unearned. You know, I think churches, visible Christianity in America has earned a reputation of not being very good neighbors. And I think that that's not completely unfair. And so we, you know, when he said that to me, I thought, I respect him even more. You know, he has a mission for their True False Festival. We have a mission, obviously, for our church. And he and I have become friends these past 10 years. We've golfed together, eat together, lunch together, we've grown to respect one another, and we respect our differences. We've got clear differences of opinion, worldviews, but I think we've grown in our respect for one another in those differences, but also I think we're surprised in how much common ground we have with one another.
I liked the term you used because I'm not sure if I remember ever hearing it, but a little while ago you said something about when you were looking at the church's mission, your particular church's mission, cultural separatist. Explain what you mean. What's that? I have an image when I think of cultural separatist.
Yeah.
That isn't something. Jesus didn't come to be a cultural separatist. I mean, to me, his ministry stepped through that. And if you really look at who he advocated for and who he put himself in the presence of, it was anything other than separating himself culturally.
His favorite people would not be people who were the religious leaders of his day. You know, that's a hard question because I think there are clear teachings of Jesus that do imply that Christians need to be different. And I think sometimes Christians misinterpret those calls to be different morally, spiritually, and how we love people and how we sacrifice and how we see our possessions and how we see our lives, how we see our vocations. We're supposed to be different than just a culture that's doesn't have those principles. But I think sometimes Christians get confused and think that that personal difference needs to be a cultural separation. And I think people are well-meaning, but I think when they confuse the two, they become irrelevant to the culture, and I think they become accused by the culture, and again, not in an unearned way, as being arrogant, self-righteous, people who think they're better than, which is the last thing that Jesus saw his disciples as, is anything better than the culture.
It's tough, though, to get that message out to a broader audience of the church seeing itself as individuals in need of redemption and healing and not perfect and going to continue to make mistakes even as they try to travel a path towards perfection, which we don't reach.
Right.
But
not this
those on the outside believe that many on the inside of churches have already assumed that identity for themselves. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, hurts.
It does. And this is another thing I think being a part of the True False Film Festival has been good for us as a church, because we originally started, again, with that idea that we want to find common ground, we want to be a part of the cultural, artistic prosperity of our community and all that. But as our church members got more and more involved in being pass holders, attending films, personally, I attend the films each weekend, each year, and I think we've learned as a church, we've gained empathy, we've gained understanding, we've had a lot to learn. And I think Christians don't think they have something to learn from a secular culture, an unbelieving culture, even an atheistic culture. I think there's a lot we have to learn from one another. We don't know it all. We're on a journey, and I think we need to be teachable.
I like these kinds of conversations because I think they're crucial conversations, and I think that I'm almost at the point of not getting to talk about I don't even know how to say the project's name. Is it Aletheia, or how do you say that?
Yeah, so that's Aletheia. Aletheia. Nobody really quite knows how. It's an ancient Greek word. And, of course, we don't have any recordings of ancient Greek spoken 2,000 years ago, so it's best guess. But it's an ancient Greek word, and it's a great word to bridge the crossing with true-false because, of course, classical Greek is a language of philosophy. And ancient Greek is a language of the New Testament. That's the language that the New Testament was written in. So that word, aletheia, appears everywhere in the New Testament and appears all over Greek culture. So it's a good common ground bridging word for us. It means truth.
And so what are you doing with that? It's a 10-week, it says, traveling documentary screening series. Are you involved with that?
Yeah. So a few years ago at True False, I saw a film called Holy Wars. And it was not a flattering view of Christianity. It was not a flattering view of a pastor of a church. But it was in some sense, a fair view. It wasn't unfair. View of the arrogance and the self-righteousness of churches and how they view people who believe things differently and think they're there to bless and have nothing to learn. And the journey of this pastor and realizing he had a ton to learn, he had a lot of ignorance that needed to be changed by exposure to different ideas. And he ends up having an encounter with a radical Muslim that the film director had arranged. And he ends up changing his view, not necessarily he doesn't change his view of his Christian beliefs, but he changes his view of people who believe things differently than him. And it's a journey that he goes on that I thought this would be a great film to show at the Crossing. So we brought the filmmaker in, Stephen Marshall. We had a little mini True False at the Crossing. David Wilson, the filmmaker, Stephen Marshall, and some others. They came out, we showed the film, we had a panel discussion afterward. And had a fantastic discussion, fair discussion, differences discussed, not watered down for the purpose of not offending people, but dealing with them head on in a respectful way. And we thought that is such a positive thing for a church to do in helping a church have conversations with people who believe something different, learn from them, build empathy, but also build our own convictions. We thought this would be a great project to do in other churches, kind of in our geographical reach in the Midwest. So we thought we would, in a sense, take the show on the road.
So is that what you're, and that's, described for me, as it said in a news release, a 10-week traveling documentary screening series that will take place beginning the fall of this year.
Yeah.
So you're going to take that around to other churches?
Yeah, we're
going to.
The goal is to try to find, we have a menu of films that would challenge the beliefs, worldviews of churches in ways that, okay, so let me say it this way. David Wilson has an agenda, and I have a different agenda, and we find common ground even in this agenda. So his agenda, obviously, is to convince evangelical churches of a different worldview to some degree on political issues, climate change, and other issues like that. My agenda is to teach churches how to have conversations in a respectful way, and we gain certain empathetic understanding of different worldviews while also listening, learning how to listen, learning how to communicate. We might change some worldviews. We might change some things, but learn also how to think critically about our own beliefs. And so this is one of those things where I think those two agendas can, we admit they're different, but we think they can be co-inhabit together. And so the idea is to help churches in some sense think outside the box, engage in critical conversations, and examine their own beliefs, and learn how to maybe defend some of those beliefs. There'll come a time when I say to David, okay, now let's try some of your audiences and see if we can turn the tables a little bit.
I would suppose you would overlap sometimes.
Yeah.
The agendas do have to overlap, and you can see Christianity in something that you would identify as the true false agenda.
Oh, there's no question about it. One of the things I love about true false is it's a window into the human condition.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people, we believe people are created in the image of God, whether they're Christians or atheists, they're still created in the image of God, and they can't help but tell this story that we see in everything, this story of creation, a descent into the fall, a story of redemption, a story of restoration that's in the gospel. That story is told over and over by Christians, non-Christians, because that's in the fabric of the universe. And so we find, what we try to teach our church to look for is, in every good art, certainly every good film as art, look for a window into that story. And there's all kinds of windows into those stories in true false films.
Mm. I'll say amen to that, because I felt like as I've gotten older, I would say that I indeed find that.
Yeah,
and look for that.
In every good art form, you do find that.
Yeah. So we just stay tuned for more information about the
Aletheia.
Aletheia project.
Yeah,
might be coming to a church near us.
Yeah, you're right. We're gonna travel to St. Louis, other places nearby.
I appreciate making the connection, and I hope you'll come back, because I have a whole lot of other things I'd like to talk to you about.
This is exciting. This is like being on Letterman for me. I've been listening to you for a long time.
Well, the only similarity is that he and I both share the same initials. But other than that, that's about it. But no, I hope that we can have further conversation just about the overall. I think it's important. I think it's important. So
absolutely,
we'll have you back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dave Cover is one of the senior pastors at The Crossing, which is right along Grindstone. You know where that is, and the kind of the south part of Columbia. It's News Talk 1400 KFRU.